You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
LaDonna Osborne, which is T.L. and T.L. Osborne's daughter, was preaching, and she wasn't going to let that distract her from her message. She wasn't going to change her focus. She was going to keep preaching the gospel. And at the end of that service, that lady came up front and testified of how she was set free from that demon. And there's so many of us that have situations in our lives, in our families, maybe it's either sickness or we're in bondage to financial debt, or we're the joy of the Lord has left us because we focused on different things that have come up in our lives that's trying to distract us from serving God, trying to distract us from giving our whole heart and our whole mind and body to serving God and following through with what He's, that great commission. Not to say that we're all going to go out to Benin in Africa or to down in Guatemala where Michael is today, or some other remote place around the world. But God wants us to live daily and in a way that people are going to be drawn to us, and we need to testify of the things that God has done for us and let it shine and show in our lives. And so a large place, a land flowing with milk and honey, I would think that, and that just symbolizes a wealth and a healthy place, not a place of bondage anymore. Remember when the Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and when Moses asked to let the Israelites go, to release them to leave, and he wouldn't let them, and then because of that the plagues came on Egypt. But the light shined in Goshen, where the Israelites were. God's protection was upon them. And that's something we need to think about too, with all the doom and gloom that's forecast in our country, and all the doom and gloom that we hear on the news all the time around the world, is God's protection is on us. We just have to keep our trust in Him and not let fear take over. Okay, so God, and this land was a land that was promised to Abraham, that his descendants would live in this land. Abraham didn't, but his descendants would. In Judges, let's turn over to Judges 18. Judges 18, the 10th verse. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel. That's not the verse I wanted to read. 18. Okay, we'll skip that one right this minute because that's not where. But anyway, it talks about a land, a large place also. Oh, it would help if I got in the right book. That's why. Not Joshua, Judges. Judges 18, sorry. So Judges 18:10. And when you go, you shall come into a people secure and to a large land, for God hath given it into your hands, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. And in the Amplified, it says, the land is broad, widely extended on all sides. So God wants you to, you know, you might not be an owner of hundreds or thousands of acres. That's not what the symbolism is to me when I read this, is that it's a place where you're comfortable, a place that you're going to have abundance. And in it also, the land Amplified also says a spacious land. So widely extended on all sides. So God wants you to be blessed. And then it goes on in the Amplified. It says, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. So you should never, as a Christian, you know, these people weren't even made righteous yet. They had a promise. They were God's people, But they weren't even made righteous. So how much more should we, as righteous, born-again Christians, experience the pleasures and the promises of God? We need to look those up and find them and pray them. If you can't do it by yourself, look at what the Bible says and read it out as you pray. And let's turn over to 2 Samuel 22. Second Samuel 22, verse 20 says, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." God delights in us. He wants us to be blessed and to succeed and to be have the joy of the Lord in our lives, to have our needs met, to walk in health all the time. And whenever the enemy comes, there are so many promises that we can take hold of, but sometimes we get lax. And if you look at I'm just going to read the Psalms 18 for those that are writing notes down. Psalms 18 verse 19 says the same thing that this verse says, that he brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And then in Joshua 18, verse 3. And it is Joshua this time. In Joshua 18, verse 3, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you?" There were some of the children of Israel, that some of the tribes that had not gone in and possessed their land, the land that God had promised them. When the land was divided, some had taken their land, but some had not. So how long are we going to be slack and not take hold of the promises of God? Now, I'm going to read this one before I continue. Psalms 118, verse 5. Okay, Psalms 118, verse 5 says, "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place." And in the Amplified, it says, "He answered me and set me free and in a large place." So God wants you to be free, not bound in any way. He wants you to be free to do what you know that God's called you to do. He doesn't want you to be bound up with finances. He doesn't want us to be bound up with sickness and illness in our bodies. He doesn't want us to be bound demonically. He does not want us to be bound at all. He has set us free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. And so when I was praying two or three weeks ago, maybe a month, I can't remember, but I was praying and I was, tissue's out. I was praying for the church, and I didn't have a phone list in front of me, but I was just going through the names and praying for all of us and praying for our family. And, you know, I pray, Father, before I pray for something, I pray Ephesians, the prayer in the first chapter and the prayer in the third chapter over our family. And when we have prayer on Thursday mornings, that's something I pray is we walk, Amanda and I and some of the other ladies will walk around and lay our hands on all the chairs and calling in people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, which is a promise that we are claiming. And we're calling these seats full. And I even thought about how be a lot of time and a lot of effort. But if we had little cardboard pictures of men and women that we could sit in chairs and let y'all put names of people that you're praying for. I mean, if you could just picture that and all of our seats be full, and who is supposed to be sitting by you? Who are you praying for that should be in that chair right beside you? And who are in one of these other chairs? Somebody that maybe you work with, or somebody that you see at the grocery store all the time, or a customer if you have a business, or a family member that you're praying for and believing God. And they should believe in God that they will repent and get right with God and get in church. But whose name would you put on a placard that said that you know, to represent them. You know, when we were at Lakewood, they talked about someone, I don't remember who preached and who gave the message, but someone said, talked about, you know, praying for your family, and God's promised you your family, and how serious are you about believing for them and really believing that they're going to get right. And there were people who were believing for their spouses, and they would not let anybody sit in the seat beside them, because that was, you know, they were calling their husband or their wife in, and that's their seat. There, you can't, I'm sorry, you can't sit there. You have to scoot over, you know, or I'll move over this way, but I'm still keeping that seat. And, but I mean, if you know that that they're coming in, it's just a matter of the timing, then you want them to sit beside you. But anyway, that's a side point. So I was praying, and I was thinking about, how we're believing for the gifts of the Spirit to flow more in the services. And I was, while I was praying, I just really felt like God said that He was bringing us into a large place concerning the gifts of the Spirit and the move of the Holy Ghost in our services. And that's what we need, you know, to have revival. You need a move of the Holy Ghost. You need people, God, the Holy Spirit, to woo and draw people to Him, for them to wake up to know that that emptiness that they have in their heart or inside them, that thing that they're trying to feel, is Jesus. That's somebody said one time, Michael has said it, that there's an empty spot in us if we don't know Jesus that's in the shape of Him, and that's the only thing that will ever fill it in our hearts, is to know Him. And so we want the move of this Holy Spirit for God to move in such a manner. You know, Jesus told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem till they would be endued on high by the power of the Holy Ghost. And turn over to Acts, the first chapter. In the fourth verse, Jesus says to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me, which this is just them relating that Jesus had said this when He was still walking the earth. For John surely baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And historically we know it was 10 days later that the Holy Ghost fell on them. In the eighth verse it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There's power that comes, a fire that comes with the Holy Ghost. When He comes and saturates you, when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that He's our teacher and He's our comforter. So He opens up the Word of God to us in such a way that it'll jump at us. It'll just come alive to us. You know, in Jude, it says that to build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and that that we don't always know how to pray. In Romans, it says, in the eighth chapter, it says we don't always know how to pray. But when we pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost, that He knows how to pray. So we need to pray with our spirit, and we need to pray with understanding. And we need to sing in the spirit. We need to sing with our understanding. But there is something that happens to us when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and we use that gift. Not one of the nine gifts that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, but it is a gift that God has given us that we will have a power that comes with that, but we have to exercise it. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, do you pray in tongues? Well, I did when I first got it. I don't do it anymore. I don't even know if it's still there. That's a sad shape to be in. And I'm sure you've heard people say something like that. But we need we're moving, I believe, by the Holy Ghost that we're moving into a large place where the Bible says that God will confirm the word with signs and wonders following, and that we will see more and hear more testimonies from our people, all of y'all, all of us, going out and ministering and talking to people and leading them and testifying about the things that are happening. You know, I can still remember testimonies that we heard at Lakewood Church. We were the head counselors, they call them prayer partners now. So we had, for after we'd been there a little while and Michael had been teaching in the classes, but we had reserved seats on the front row. And the usher program was not real organized yet. Now it's top notch and, you know, security and all of that. Of course, I mean, it became top notch before we left. But because we were on the front row, there were a lot of usher jobs that Michael did. We'd have a guest speaker and they'd say, well, I need a chair. So Michael would go get a chair and he'd take it up on the platform and he would stand there. And Norville Hayes ministered. There was a period of time that Norville Hayes preached quite frequently at Lakewood. And so Michael is holding the chair and there's a young man that his kneecap is on the side of his leg. It's not on the top of his leg like it's supposed to be. It's on the side of his leg. And Norville Hayes prayed for him, and Michael said it sounded like a shotgun. That kneecap popped back to where it's supposed to be, and he was completely healed. There was a time that there was a man that came, and his feet were flat, and he had no arch. And he wanted to be healed. Because I understand that that's quite uncomfortable and can present problems. Anyway, Michael got the chair, stood up there, and he's holding the chair. And this fella, I don't remember his age or anything, but Michael could hear when he was prayed for. He could hear those bones crackling. And he had his shoe, he had taken his shoes and socks off so that you could see that the foot was flat. And that foot was completely arched, just like it should be. It wasn't natural. I mean, so when somebody, when the doctor tells you that it's impossible, it can't, nothing, there's nothing we can do. Well, who's the God of the impossible but our God? Our God is a risen God, a Savior. And God is our great physician. And Jesus wore stripes on his back that we could be healed. And so when the doctor tells you that you've had surgery and it's always going to have nerve damage there, it's going to be numb, that doesn't mean that you have to live with that the rest of your life. Or just because the doctor says, that's what the devil does to you. But the doctors do all that they're trained, all their medical training has taught them to do and say. And in the natural, Jennifer says that, Jennifer's in her third year of medical school, and after being a nurse for 6 years with a bachelor's degree, and she says, Mom, I have to catch myself sometimes whenever somebody tells me symptoms, because I want to tell them what my medical knowledge tells, should be, that's, this is going to happen. But she says, I have to believe with them when they're believing. But that is something we all have to deal with. As a pastor's wife, I've learned so much about diseases. Never thought I would have known all the stuff that I know, or I think I know anyway. Not that I'm, medically trained or not, or anything like that. But we've gone and prayed for a lot of people and heard all the symptoms and all the different diagnoses. So, but you have, and then you watch TV, which I watch TV, we watch TV. But the commercials will convince you that you are sick and you need this medicine. You might not have even thought of that before. You might not have even had an ailment, an ache or a pain in that area, but they so try to sell that drug to you or that medication that you start thinking. And then the next time you have a little ache or pain or you forget something, you go, oh my goodness, is this the beginning of whatever they talked about? So we have to renew our minds with the Word of God. Be not conformed, Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it goes on and talks about spiritual battles. And so the Word of God is so rich, and we all ought to be slapped around a little bit because we don't use it all the time. And we actually are getting slapped around by the devil. We're actually not taking hold of what God says that we're supposed to do and how we should act and how we should talk. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How many times have we sat in a service or listened to a message on a CD or you know, on the internet, live streaming or whatever, and we walk out of that going, ooh, I feel like, you know, a weightlifter, you know, muscle person. We went to Dr. Barclay's, Dr. Mark T. Barclay in Michigan. We went to his services, a couple of services up there in December while we were doing other things. That was not the main reason we went. We went to dedicate Liz's brother Brian's new building, and he was going to be prayed over and ordained as into the ministry. I mean, he's been a pastor for 6 years, but we got to have the benefit of hearing Dr. Barclay for 2 days, and he is really a neat guy, and he considered Brother Osteen his pastor before Brother Osteen passed away for several years, and we have been introduced to him a couple of times, but there was one time that we got to talk to him after a service while we were there, standing there with Brian, and Michael said, well, he shook his hand and said, well, we've met a couple of times, and he said, you know, told him who he was, and he said, I went to Lakewood Church. Brother Osteen was my pastor. And he says, oh, you went there? You know, like, because he didn't go there. He just considered him and talked to him and counseled with him but considered him his spiritual father in the faith. Michael just like, well, we went there. He was our pastor, but we really went there. But anyway, after we left those meetings, I just felt like, give me something to fight. I could do this. You know, it really pumped me up. It gave me boldness to act on the word. And so anyway, I just really feel like, or I'm impressed by the Holy Spirit that God is fixing to do some new things here in our church. I'm believing for revival in our church. I'm believing for revival in our city. I'm believing for revival in our state, revival in our country. Our nation needs to turn to God. You know, the Bible says if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, that God will heal our nation. And so we need to pour our hearts out and believe and trust God to find the promises in the word, so that we are walking in the freedom that God wants us to walk in, that we have, you know, one of those scriptures that I read, these are things that are different phrases that were describing the large, a good land and large, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that is good and spacious, to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty. Whatever, secure to a large land. And God, this is Judges 18:10. God has given it unto your hands, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. There's nothing in this earth that we should be lacking because God has given it to us. And the things, the areas that we're lacking in, find the scriptures. Find out what God says. Find out what he says concerning what the promises are that you can apply in your lives. And you start praying them and you start saying them. And we have to, you know, I know that we can kid around and laugh and talk to people about, you know, just fun. You know, we're fun. We're being funny and fun and we're joking. But I think we sometimes need to edit some of those things that we say. You know, I haven't heard this very much lately, but my feet are killing me. Well, let's, I'm really tired, but God's given me strength. And I mean, there's things that we can say that can still be positive, that we're not going to let ourselves be drugged into, you know, the world will draw you away from God if you let it. You know, there's, if you're standing, and we're standing in a river of life. And if we're not pushing forward, the world is going to pull us backwards. And so we have to, it's not, we can't stand still. We can't be, you know, just like God gave manna to the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, but it was new every day. The only day they could collect more than one day's supply was the day before the Sabbath. And we can't let this word pass us by daily. Because when that flow of the world comes, and it's coming at us every day, every minute of every day. It's the devil does not want us to serve God. He does not want us to experience the joy of the Lord. He does not want, he wants to do anything he can, anything and everything he can to distract us from what God is, has for us and what he wants us to do. If we're always focused on ourselves, then how are we going to be able to be focused on other people? And what the problems are in our lives are distracting us from what the problems they have that we have the answer for. You know, remember in Acts, the third chapter, that Peter and John are walking in, fixing to go into the temple, and there's a lame man laying there, and he holds out, you know, that little song the kids sing. It's always hard to read that without wanting to sing the little tune. But he held out his, he was holding out his hand wanting them to give him money, which would have helped him for maybe a meal or that day. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. He had the answer to all the problems this man would ever have. And he said, rise up and walk. And that man went leaping and dancing before the Lord, so much that the Jewish leaders took them in and questioned them about what were they doing. They didn't want them to preach in that name anymore. But God, we all have that answer for the world, the people that we come in contact with every day. And just, I just want to encourage you and stir you to, which, not to take for granted what God's done for us, not to take for granted the promises that we have, but to actually find them and apply them in your life so that you can share with other people how, and you know, all the miracles that Michael shared this morning, I'm sure there's thousands that he couldn't share because of the time element. He said there were people that were thronging the platform that wanted to tell what had happened, how they had been healed, how they had been set free. So people are interested. They're looking for something. They're looking just like we were at one time. They've got an empty spot in their heart. Or maybe they they don't know that God heals, still heals, that God delivers, that God meets needs. And so I just want to challenge each of us, me included, to be more diligent in serving God and in sharing with other people what God, the answer is that they need. Amen.